All right, we're teaching on living in the supernatural. We're in this area now called the Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. Now, this you gotta hear. And you gotta hear it because this, what I'm teaching now, is like apples of gold. Amen. It really is. I mean, this is something that every person that's in the body of Christ should hear. Just right here, what I'm teaching now. I think it's a powerful, I'm not saying because I'm preaching, I'm saying this is what Jesus preached. This is something that's fundamental to us being able to advance the kingdom in this earth. I'll start reading at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham, or believing Abraham. All right. Now, as we look at this, the Bible is a supernatural book. Matter of fact, Jesus lived in the supernatural. He taught the supernatural. He thought supernaturally. And he manifested the supernatural. Here are the disciples, and they were rowing, and the wind was against them. Jesus comes to them walking on the water, and they were afraid. Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. And they said, Peter said, if that be you, tell me to walk to you on the water. Now that's supernatural. Does everybody in here agree that walking on the water is supernatural? Okay. And so now, Jesus also did things like casting out devils. He spoke to storms and they ceased. Jesus also, glory to God, he also cursed a fig tree and it dried up within 24 hours. He spoke to it. He fed 5,000 plus women and children. Now, he didn't do this just because he was trying to show out. He did it trying to teach them what possibilities or potential they have in this kingdom life. Because now he's teaching them about the kingdom. He came and announced it. Put it up on the board, please. He came and announced it. Mark chapter 1, and starting at verse 14. And he says to them, now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe it. Believe it. Now the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. So you got to believe something that's not reasonable. And believing is a choice. And you don't believe with your head, you believe with your heart. And I'm talking about not the blood pump, but your spirit man. That's where you believe. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that'll believe it. Everyone that'll believe it. When you believe the word, it empowers the word. So he preached the kingdom. Now, in preaching that, he taught them about the kingdom, how it functions. We'll get there in a little bit later. But he taught them the fact that this kingdom has now come inside of them. Put up there Mark chapter 9, please, and verse 1. Over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1. He said this. And he said to them, verily I say unto you, there be some here that stand, that some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. In other words, there's some people standing with me right here, and you're not going to die until you see the kingdom of God come. Now, what was he talking about? He wasn't talking about the kingdom of God coming in the millennium, coming when the city of God will come down out of heaven, found in Revelation chapter 21, I think it is. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about this kingdom that he's announcing right here, this invisible kingdom. It's going to come right now, and get this kingdom is going to come. Some standing here, you will not die until that kingdom is come. All right? And then he says over in Luke, go to Luke chapter 17, and Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, he talked about this kingdom, and he said this, in Luke 17, verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation. Neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. He is not speaking, he's speaking prophetically right here. He is saying, hey, it's going to come in you. Now, it actually came in them on the day of Pentecost when the heaven, when Jesus went back to the Father and the Holy Ghost came and boom, that power came and empowered them with the kingdom, with the Holy Ghost power. And now they went out and miracles began to happen. Now, we stop over here in Colossians chapter 1, go over there please, and verse 12 and 13. And what we said here is that giving thanks to the Father which has made us able or meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Keep going. Who had delivered us, underline delivered. This is past tense, action already accomplished. Had delivered us from the what? Power of darkness and has what? Translated us into the kingdom of God's dear son. So you've been delivered. Delivered from what? The power of darkness. And now you're in the kingdom. The kingdom of who? God's dear son. So you've already been delivered. You're not going to be delivered. You already have been delivered. Say amen to that. So now as God does this, he is now, Jesus qualifies us to be able to do the work. If you look in the scriptures and just peruse them yourself, you'll find that after the Gospels in the Bible, after the red section, over here in the epistles, you'll find that no longer was Jesus called the only begotten Son. No longer was he called that. In Hebrews 12 and 23, he was called the church, he called it the church of the firstborn. Jesus was the firstborn. We are the church of the firstborn. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, he calls Jesus the firstborn of many brethren. Over in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, who is the image of God, the firstborn of every creature? Now over in Colossians 1:18, he says, the firstborn from the dead. The firstborn from the dead. Look, put up there Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. I'm just taking you through some scriptures now. Revelation 1, 18. He says this. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive, come on, forevermore. Amen. And I have the what? Keys of hell, not to hell. Of it. You know, if you got the keys to the bank, you can get in the front door. But if you got the keys of the bank, then you can go into everything in the bank. Keys of hell and death. Now, this is Jesus. Again, he told his disciples in John 14, he said, that the things that I do shall you do also. And greater work shall you do, because why? I'm going to the Father. So I'm just saying, a lot of times what has happened is we look at Jesus and see the things that Jesus did, and we say, oh, well, that was Jesus. No, no, you have to understand. He was doing that as a sample son. He was showing you of what you can do. Now, the Bible says now that the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of who? The sons of God. It's waiting for us to come out of the closet to realize who we are. Everybody else coming out, you come out too. Realize who we are and that realize that we are one with the Father. And through that understanding, your divine nature, you can cooperate with the Father and act like God would act in every situation. Now, you got to get the tape and go back over that. That was it, okay? Now, let's look at this because this was told by Jesus, and the blessing of Abraham was upon these children of Israel, but somehow it didn't connect. Somehow it didn't operate through them. It didn't make the difference that God had planned for in the earth, because God plans to distinguish you through the anointing, glory to God, and the blessing that's on your life. That's a whole nother thing. All right, so let's see what happened here. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, amen. Let me get my other Bible here, praise the Lord. Yeah. Boy, this is like having a shotgun with two barrels. Pow, pow, you know, just, okay, all right. Now, don't get scared. Maybe I shouldn't have used that illustration. Okay? All right, look what it says here in verse 3. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your what? Tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or to his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your what? Tradition. All right, tradition. You made the word of God of none effect. Even though it's a word, and we talk about the word of the kingdom, you made it of none effect because you're tradition. All right? Here's an example. I used this last service. I think it'll be a good one for this one. Here was a woman. She got married. They were newlyweds, and she was cooking in the kitchen. And she was about to cook a roast, and she cut the end off, discarded it, put the roast in the pot, put it in the oven. Her husband observed that. He said, now why did you cut the end off that roast? She said, I don't know why I cut the end off that roast. She said, Mama always cut the end off that roast. Let me call her and see why she cut the end off that roast. They called Mama. Mama, why did you cut the end off the roast before you put it in the pot and put it in the oven? Baby girl, I don't know why I did that. Big Mama cut the end off her roast and put it in there. Let's call her and see why she did that. Call Big Mama. Big Mama, why did you cut the end off the roast and put it in the pot to push it in the oven? She said, oh, baby, I did that because the pot was too small. Now, notice. Notice now, they are doing things traditionally. Watch this. Have even lost the understanding of why they're doing it. So now they're just doing it. But he just said that tradition has made the word of God of none effect. It's not doing what it's designed to do. So I began to look at that. I said, well, let me go through the scriptures here. Let me see a couple of things that might be something we do traditionally, but of none effect. And I started with the blood of Jesus. And people talk about blood, but do they know the power of the blood? Do they know that you can plead the blood over your child and the devil can't touch him? Witchcraft can't even enter into it. Do they know that? Do they know that the blood of Jesus is potent enough to cleanse your conscience of dead works? That means that if you have been abused as a child or molested and those thoughts are still running around, the blood of Jesus can wipe out the thought of that. It can wipe it completely out of your conscience that you'll forget it ever happened. Do you realize that the blood of Jesus also speaks? That's in Hebrews 12. And it speaks of better things than that of Abel. Do you realize even when you're caught in a bad situation, what you want to always do is speak the word of God? Because when you speak the word of God, the blood of Jesus is getting on that chair as a witness in the court of heaven, and the blood of Jesus speaks the same thing. Well, if you got two speaking the same thing, God is going to move on your behalf. That's the blood. Now, that's just one. How about another one? How about the tongues? How about tongues? Folks kind of laugh at tongues. Folks don't even want to speak in tongues. Folks, we kind of take tongues out of the church. We said, tongue, that's passed away. Oh, tongues is not for everybody. You're right, it's not for everybody. It's for those that believe. And tongues, when the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, when you pray in tongues, then you pray the will of God. You pray the perfect will of God. It says when you don't know how to pray, you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You can pray in the Holy Ghost, and watch this. God will hear that prayer and move on your behalf. I'm talking about tongues now. Tongues will also elevate you. I pray in tongues every day. Why do I pray in tongues? Because I've been asleep and I've been away from the word, but when I get back again and I know I got to go out, I got to get up in the spirit. So when I pray in tongues, it starts to elevate me and elevate me, and my flesh begins to get fall away. Glory to God. How about the name of Jesus? I said the name of Jesus. You know, somebody dropped something on the ground and said, oh, Jesus. Hey, see, they didn't believe in that name. Because if you really know what you got a hold of, you wouldn't throw that name around like that. When you call that name, demons tremble, man. Demons get back. Somebody, you can get on the back of the bus and say, God did, Muhammad did, then so good, Confucius that, but just say, Jesus. Why? Because the devil can't stand that name. That's the one that defeated him when he came out of hell and stripped him of everything he's got. That's the name that is above every name. That's the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. How about communion? Communion ain't just drinking something. Communion is getting healed. Communion is putting blood over your doorpost. Communion is getting your mind cleansed again. Communion is making it understanding the love of God that he has for you. How about water baptism? I go places and preach. I don't even see no pool nowhere. I'm preaching. I'm trying to figure out how they doing this. How could you get away from the basic tenets of the word of God? Where is the baptism pool up in here? Where is the water up in here? And when you
take people down, it's not just taking them down and getting them wet. When you take them down, you circumcising that spirit man and breaking everything off. Just like Pharaoh was chasing the children of Israel. And what happened? He got in the middle of the Red Sea and the Red Sea closed up on him. I'm telling you, when you get water baptized, whatever's chasing you gonna be closed up on. It's a revelation, folks. Impartation, laying hands on people, imparting gifts to people. That's what was in the early church. How about praise? Praise stills the avenger. People don't even, praise is going on and people hanging around talking and so forth. Praise is a time you get in on it because praise prepares you for the revelatory word. You might hear the word, but if you just was in praise and worship, you'll hear something that you never heard before. Praise will cause the devil to shut up. You got voices talking to you, start praising God. If the devil's got you hemmed up and you don't see no way out, start praising. And the devil will have to spit you out. How about favor? Lord have mercy. How about foot washing? You got pride in your life. You need to get down and wash somebody's feet. Pride means I gotta be seen. It's gotta be me. You gotta see me. I'm the one. I'm this and that. That's the same spirit Satan had on him. He had a I gotta be seen spirit. You look at me. Look how great I am. You ain't nothing like that. What you need to do is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God will raise you up. If you so much, let me see what your faith has done. Show me what your faith has done, and then I'll say you all that. But until then, you sit your narrow self down and get under the word of God and let God raise you up. Woo! Oh, have mercy. How about favor? You know, favor ain't fair. If you place the right value on favor that God intended for you to place, it'll take you places that you never thought you could go. Say amen to that. Amen. Favor raised Joseph up in Potiphar's house when he was a slave. And then Potiphar and them falsely accused him with his wife, and he's thrown in jail, and favor made him take over the jail. Come on now. I said, you can't go any higher than the favor God has enabled you with. That you need favor in your life, 1 Corinthians 5:10. Paul said favor. He said, we are what we are by the grace of God. It's the grace, it's the favor of God that makes you what you are. Say amen to that. Amen. Favor determines the limit of every man's destiny. Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5. And every woman's destiny. Look at Esther. Here she was. Esther was there in the house of the palace of King Ahasuerus. And Esther was the only one that could get an audience with the king. But there was a problem. You had to be invited in. Because if you weren't invited in, the king could order your head cut off. So Mordecai said, go on in there and get on behalf of the children of Israel. Be an intercessor for us. Esther said, I can't go. If I go in there and he hadn't invited me, he said, Esther, girl, let me tell you something. If you don't go, God will choose somebody else. So Esther fasted for 3 days and then broke out her royal apparel. Come on now. Some of y'all need to put on that royal robe. And got that royal apparel on and went in there to the king's palace unannounced. The king pointed the scepter at her and said, Esther, what do you want? Just ask for it and I'll give it to you up the half of my kingdom. Folks, let me tell you something about favor. Favor ain't fair. Praise God. In favor, you will see that the children of Israel actually, through favor, it caused them to get years of labor turned over. Lord have mercy. Let me find my notes. I start preaching. Boy, you start preaching. You can't see. You You get under that anointing. Boy, you're trying to focus. Get them natural eyes back together. Favor. One encounter with favor is equal to a lifetime of labor. I'm going to say it one more time. One encounter of favor. I'm going to turn you to that. Let's go over here with me to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. Ooh, isn't God good? Somebody say favor.
Favor.
Put your hand on top of your head. Say favor. Look at verse 19 of Exodus chapter 3. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. Now I'll stretch out my hand, and I'm going to smite Egypt with all my signs and wonders, which I will do in the midst of thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I'll give this people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. But everyone shall borrow of a neighbor and of her that sojourn in the house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment and clothing, and ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall what? Spoil the Egyptians. Notice what he's going to give them. Favor. Now notice what they're doing. Favor going to make somebody give you something that don't like you. They don't like you. Can you see them saying, I don't like you, man. I don't like you. I don't like you. I can't stand you. I don't like you. Now, don't nobody move. So, my point to you is, I'm trying to make it visual for you. I'm trying to let you know contracts are going to come your way. But it's not just something that just happens. You got to believe. So what do I do every day? Father, I thank you that the favor of God surrounds me like a shield, producing supernatural increase, restoration, honor, increased assets, greater victories, recognition, prominence, preferential treatment, petitions granted, policies and rules changed, and battles won, which I don't have to fight. And that's what you want. Every day, every day. Because the enemy doesn't want you to have favor. He doesn't want contracts to come to you. He doesn't want good things to happen to you. He doesn't want doors to open for you. But what you're doing with favor is kicking that door down. You're getting God on your side and you're walking right through. Say amen to that. This is the year of God's favor in your life. Well, let's just go to one more. The Word of God. The Word of the Kingdom. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 15. Y'all got me preaching too hard here. Yeah, I'm flowing. I'm trying to flow the best I can here. I'm just, man. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. My goodness, my goodness.
I said 15, make it 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. Ooh, Lord. All right. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. All right. Jesus taught them how to pray. And the Bible says that over in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. I don't want you to turn there because I got to finish. That they didn't come out to Jesus' meeting. People didn't come. I've been there. People were staying away by the hundreds. The disciples, one of them said, Lord, call fire down on them. That's what you feel like doing sometimes. But call fire down on them. And Jesus said, wait a minute. You don't know what kind of spirit you're of. And the Bible says they went on to another village. Very interesting what he said. He said, the Bible reads, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. See, he didn't pray for that place. Over in Matthew's gospel, he talks about praying that God would send forth laborers into the harvest. Are you with me? Notice, people just don't automatically get saved. Somebody's got to pray. And I think sometimes people trying to start ministries and don't realize that what did this was prayer. And also, John the Baptist, the Bible says, the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. Now, I know what happened. John prayed. And when he prayed, angels went out. And you know, angels can cause you to come into places. Y'all with me? So Jesus knew how to pray, how to get things done in the spirit, see, with supernaturally. And I'm just saying, it's interesting when you call a prayer meeting, how you know, a lot of folk don't show. But if you're cooking chicken dinners, okay, but that's all I'm going to say about that. So what have we done? We've tried to resort to radio, TV, ads, all kinds of flyers, all kinds of stuff. Where's the prayer? Now, also, the word of the kingdom. That God wants to produce in our lives whatever is needed anywhere we are.
And he wants us to learn how to handle this thing. Now, there are other things in the supernatural that you need. You need gifts. You need to learn about the fruit. You need to learn confession. You know, a lot of people don't. That's why some people's marriages don't last. They don't have any fruit in their life. Fruit means love and long-suffering. See, now, listen, it's a supernatural disposition. It's not just some natural disposition, because naturally you can't stand them. But supernaturally, that's right. I heard that over here. That's right. No, I want you to understand that. That's what it's for. It's a supernatural disposition. It's to bring peace to you, even though there's chaos around you. Say amen to that. These are the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. So this, you got to have, all this is supernatural. This is what needs to be taught. Confession is a very powerful principle that people in the body of Christ, we need to not traditionalize confession, but understand that the fact that God has made it so, you must say something. Amen. Say amen to that. And what the enemy will try to do is make you feel self-conscious about even saying anything, even praying over your food at your job. He'll try to make you not pray or just do something like this. And, you know, so forth and so on. Y'all saw that? Did y'all see that? Let me do it again. And, yeah, try to make you feel self-conscious about praying over your meal. You got to say that. Suppose I pull up into a gas station and the gas attendant asks, what can we do for you? I've got a salad request. He'll look around, look at me and say, what is a salad request? What is that? I mean, there is no such thing as silent prayer. I said, there is no such thing as silent prayer. You got to move your lips, honey. Now, I don't care if you don't like it. I want to make you mad so you get rid of that mess and come on into the kingdom and stop trying to act like you got something you ain't got. Your mouth is saying something, but your heart is far from God. We're going to make you who you want to be. Praise God. That's what we're going to do. I mean, I love you, but I'm going to give you the truth. Because you have been made for such a time as this. I said, amen. All right, now, let's just go to this last part. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Ow! You know, I used to feel self-conscious about things that I preach, and I leave, and then the devil started talking to me. See, you hurt their feelings. I'm telling you, that's what he tried to tell me. So now I get to the place I just say, so what? And just keep going. So what? The Bible says that's the only way certain people turn around is with an open rebuke. That's scripture, folks. Okay, I'm not trying to say I'm coming here to try to hurt somebody's feelings. My point to you is I got to give you the truth. And the devil doesn't want you to have the truth. So he tried to get you to get offended by what I tell you. But don't get offended, because God is pulling you out. God is about to bless you. Bless you big time. Oh, I'm going to say that again. He's blessing you big time. He's going to take you from a zero to a hero. Praise God. Write that down. Glory to God. All right. Look what it says in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because of what has come? The harvest has come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? He said, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it what? Groweth up, and what? Becometh greater. Stop right there. Stop right there. Okay? Now, the Word of God has enough power in it to bring itself to pass. All right. Let's go to Micah. Now, I do not have all day for you to find Micah. Go to your table of contents, look up Micah, and come on back. We gonna still love you if you got to go to the table of contents. There's nothing wrong with having to do that. You know, some folk will go, to save face, they'll go to the wrong place and just act like they're not flipping anymore, you know, so. Boy, that's tripping, ain't it? Okay. See, I know all the tricks because I've been there. I remember the guy telling me, all right, go to Obadiah. Okay, in Obadiah, I go there. I'm over in Isaiah now. I'm over in Isaiah. Moving on to him. Okay. Micah, look at Micah chapter 5. Look at Micah chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been of old from everlasting. Okay? All right. This is a prophetic word, and it's given by Micah. Micah is a prophet. He's one of the minor, call it the minor prophets, but he really had something major to say. So Micah gave that, and look what Micah said. Micah said over in verse 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Who was that that was going to come forth out of Bethlehem? Jesus. Well, Jesus was going to come and be born in Bethlehem. Got it? All right. Let's fast forward hundreds of years. Coming over to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. All right, Luke chapter 2. Are you with me? In Luke chapter 2, look what it says in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. A decree means to legislate. I want to put that in your Bible. To decree means to legislate. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of who? David. So he had to go back to the place of residence. Verse 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Do you know what great with child means? Okay, it means really, really, really expecting. Y'all know it. Y'all great with child. I'm just making sure everybody knows this because I'm going to cover something here. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be what? Delivered. Now, because it says while they were there, it tells me that they didn't go there to make that their home. It says while they were there. Then it says, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her who? Firstborn son, and wrapped him, what? In swaddling clothes, keep going, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There was no room for them in the inn. So notice what he's saying here. He is saying there was no room. Oh, here's something I got a half of one. Okay, there was no room for them in the inn. Now, it didn't mean they didn't have any money. It meant that there was no room for them because everybody had come up to be taxed. Are you with me? So when everybody's coming forth here to be taxed, then people had occupied every place to stay, and the only place they could go was to the stable. And the child was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling does not mean raggedy. Okay? All right? And laid in him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the word of the kingdom. Micah spoke a word. And when he spoke that word, hundreds of years before, he released it under the anointing of God as a prophet of God, decreeing a thing. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 1:12, God watches over his word to perform it or make it good. Got it? I don't care what the opposition is. It makes no difference because the word is the controlling factor. If you got the word of God in your life, in your situation, you take that word and you get that word established in your life and decree it, and everything around you must change. You with me? So now he spoke that word and the word is released. Now the word goes to work. Not them. The word works. Now, what does the word do? It's going to bring to pass what it said. So what does the word do? Here is Joseph and Mary up at Bethlehem. How did they get there? I'm not talking about traveling, donkey, whatever. I'm talking about what made them come there. Taxes. Who issued the tax declaration? Caesar Augustus. How did he issue it? By decree. Why did it happen that the decree was timing for Mary to be full and hit Jerusalem at that time, and the baby got to come? I tell you how. The word of God. Some of you are here today because of your great grandmama's prayer. Amen. So my point to you is, look at this word. Look how the word orchestrated everything so that whatever the word says, it'll come to pass. It moved a whole kingdom around. It adjusted when he would call for taxes. It caused whatever it said, it came to pass. Y'all with me? Yes. Now, where did the baby come from? Okay, it came from the word. Okay, it came from God. Okay. Y'all getting too deep now. Okay. Okay. The baby came from Mary. Can we just assume that? Okay. Now, this is the principle of the word of the kingdom. Because now this is what we read, that the sower soweth the word. And then sleeps and rise, what? Night and day. And the word grows up, he doesn't know how. Meaning that you go on about your business, but the word is still working.
Yes.
Got it? And then, watch this, and now here is time for the word to come forth. Got it? Put up John chapter 1 up there on the board, please. John chapter 1. In verse 1. All right. Look what it says here. He says, in the beginning was the what?
Word.
And the word was with who?
God.
And the word was who?
God.
Keep going. The same was in the beginning with what?
God.
Keep going. All things were made by who?
Him
who?
God
who?
Word.
The word. And without him was not anything made that was made. So everything was made by the word. Keep going to verse 14, please. Come on down to verse 14. 14. And the word was made. The word was made what? So the word turned into a man. Why can't the word turn into your house? And we'll start that next time. Give the Lord a praise. All right, before you leave, before you get up and start walking, there might be people in the audience right now that you're ready for this. You're ready for this kingdom. Because in that kingdom, there's plenty. There's no lack. And I'm going to show you how to get it and so forth. But you can't get